Amen. Well, I want to bring a message to you that I preached right at a year ago, but I believe it's worthy of where we are in preaching it again. And then that's the only thing I come up with, too. So, no, I'm kidding. When you ask the Lord as a minister, you ask the Lord, what do you want your people to hear? And that's what I do. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but I figure you're his people and you're not mine, really. I'm your shepherd, but you're his. And Lord, what do you want him to hear? And when he speaks to you about something and you kind of go with it, that's the way I arrive at all of my messages is, Lord, what do you want your people to hear? And so I went back and I did do some revision a little bit on the message that I'll be preaching today. But with everything that's going on in America, as we draw closer to the what I believe wholeheartedly to the end of times, let me put it this way, to the end of the end of times, I believe we're at the threshold with when we see things like what Dr. Russell just talked about, when we see multiple countries lining up against Israel. I mean, I don't know if you understand exactly, but when he said that they were fighting, they're fighting at least a skirmish on three fronts, you've got to realize that if I had it up on a map, you would see Israel running north and south, and you would see that Gaza is in the, would be what we would say the southern part of it. West Bank would be on the west side, and Hezbollah, they're fighting that up in, is it Rafah? Rafah? What's the Hezbollah is? Lebanon. Right north of there. They're fighting on that front. So you got three sides. Well, the other side, guess what? It's water. So they're completely surrounded. So these things that are lining up, they're not coincidental to what the Bible says. It's not, well, they're in a coincidence. No, it's lining up. Things aren't out of control. They're in control. Okay, so we're not panic. We want to bring you. We want to have these things to you to be brought to your attention, and so I want to bring something else to your attention as the day approaches. And I believe it's very clear, and I believe it's very near. I want to preach this topic: be careful of replacing holiness with grace. Be careful of replacing holiness with grace. Now, let me say this. Without grace, we don't have a chance. There's no hope for us to make it to heaven without grace. I get that. I'm not preaching against grace. I'm going to preach to you today from the position of the lack of holiness. And so, we need grace. We need grace in our lives in order to be able to get close to God. We got to have mercy and grace that is extended to us. But we sometimes overplay the grace card. We sometimes overplay the mercy card that God's an all-loving God, and He is. And that He's all-merciful, and He is. But there's a part to humanity that we must play, and it is called holiness. And I'm going to show you scripturally that you're commanded to be holy. We come to our plates, if you will, as in a buffet line, and we say, Lord, load me up heavy on the grace and the mercy and go kind of light on the holiness, if you will. That's the way we approach God. That's the way we approach our lives. Well, I just want to love on somebody real fast and firmly when they say, but we ain't under the law. You know, the law's for back then. Come on, have you not read the whole Bible? He said that he didn't come to abolish the prophet and the law and the prophet, but to fulfill it. If you go on and read in Matthew, he says, talking about adultery. You don't have to go out and physically commit it. If you just lusted at a woman, men, if you lusted a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery already. Well, that's pretty steep right there. I think, ooh, let's go back to the law on that one. Come on, let's go back to the law on something. We want to pick and choose how this thing works for us. Well, here's the deal. You don't get to. And so holiness is not, and I want to blow out some myths. Holiness is not a denomination. Hear me out. Holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is not a group of people. Okay? Holiness is not a dress code. And that's the way we've put holiness into a few little boxes, and we've checked those boxes, and you see people that come by with skirts and hair pulled up, and they hadn't cut their hair, and said, they're holiness. Come on, you've all done it. Don't sit there like you hadn't. They're them weird holiness people, aren't they? It's not a group of people. It's not a denomination. It's not a dress code, but then it is. Watch. When you get right with God, you will start hanging around different folks. So it might be a group of people. When you get right with God, you'll start talking different. When you get right with God, you'll start dressing different. I'll tell a story. Years ago, I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't anybody, anything. I'm still pretty much most of that, okay? But I was in this church, and I was filling in, if you will. They call them interim pastors. It's just another whipping boy to churches that have been established for several years. And so I had the great honor and duty and privilege of making sure the lights was cut on and cut off after everybody left and before everybody got there, and the heat was and the air condition was set correctly. Glory to God. I'm going to just tell you, if I give you that title, you say the pastor hates me greatly. That is not a privilege to set the air conditioning or the heating in this church or any other church. And it was to make sure everything flowed perfectly and do the announcements and make sure everything was just great. And every now and then, preach a little something, we'll tell you to preach. But one of my roles, it came to me that I was to inform a young lady that had gotten saved in the church recently of a few weeks. And she had not been saved ever before in her life. This wasn't a second go-around or a third or a fourth go-around. This was number one, uno, number one, never been here before, never been to church, don't know anything about church. Just know that I somehow need God in the middle of my stuff. And she comes in her best that she had. And her best that she had was very nice and probably cost a lot of money. I mean, it was tailored correctly for the lifestyle previous, but it wasn't the best dress code for the church. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you don't come to church and do you? She was blessed in Jesus' name. God had done a good work. Come on, somebody. And I was formed by some of our righteous ladies that me, as being now the supreme interim pastor, should address the situation with this woman who had just given her life to the Lord. I needed to address that since we didn't have a pastor. You need to say something. You know her. I don't know her no more than you know her. Why don't you go tell her? Well, you know where that went. I ain't all saved. Awesome. My point is this. See, they were looking for holiness in a way that we dressed. See, if you give people a little time to get right with God, that might be the only dress that woman had. I don't know. But she'll learn, this is the best I've got, and I'm going to bring the best to the Lord. I probably need some kind of shawl or covering or whatever y'all call them things, a jacket or whatever. But see, so many times we run people out of the church because we want them to be holy like we are to a degree. But now we don't want them to get too holy and get too full of God, because if they get too full of God, they're going to show us up, and they're going to want to work for the Lord, and they're going to know Scripture, and they're going to quote Scripture, and they're going to do all these things. And now, well, that's not holiness. You know, you don't have to do all those things, right? So we have a standard of what holiness ought to be. But I want to tell you this, that holiness, Holiness comes with getting right with God, and holiness produces a fruit that you didn't produce before. Holiness is from God, and it is not an outward appearance, but it is an outward appearance. It is not in a language, but it is in a language. It is not in how you react to certain situations, but it is. Because when Christ comes in and truly Christ takes a hold of your life, holiness will begin to appear if you allow it. Holiness is a term that the church has gotten away from because we don't want people to think we're weird. Can I tell you something? In today's society, if you go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, God forbid you show up for a Thursday night Bible study or a Monday morning Bible study, you're weird. You're weird. If you go to any kind of church that has something to do with Pentecostal, you're extremely weird. You're a weirdo. And throw holiness in the name of a church and you're just nuts. You're just a nut. We don't want to associate. Do we have to start handling snakes? You can, but you can't do it here at this church. That's another church, okay? That ain't this one. Do we have to start wearing our hair up? But you can. I won't say nothing to you. That's your business, I guess. But holiness is not those things. Holiness is a change of the heart. Holiness is to become like Christ. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. It says that holiness comes with God. It's part of the package. When you receive Christ, guess what? He's holy, and you receive part of the package, but you got to work on your side of it. God's already holy. He's not going to get any more holy. He's not going to get any less holy. He's just holy. The problem lies within us. We got some work to be done. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says this. Now, this is the Lord talking here when he says it this way. He says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, let's look at this a little bit more in depth. The author is saying that he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all of your what? Your conduct. What is your conduct? Everything that people see on the outside of you. It's your language. It's your dress. It's your attitude. It's all of those things. Your conduct, how you hold yourself, how you present yourself, how you smash your finger with a hammer. What you say. Come on, that's part of it. Well, I used to cuss. I could cuss a lot. Preacher, you used to cuss? Uh-huh, you did too. Everybody in this room does once at some point. But I don't cuss now. I can smash my finger. Woo! Be hurting too. But I don't jump up and say, my conduct, your conduct. And it says, goes on and says, because it is written, be ye holy. In other words, be holy, you be holy, for I am holy. Talking about Christ. He's holy. God's holy. So he's telling you, you be holy. So what does that look like, preacher? I mean, do we have to start wearing long dresses? I hope none of the men want to do that anyway. But if we do, we got a special counseling session for that. Do we have to wear long dresses? Do we have to put our hair up in a bun? Do we have to do all that? No. It's not about that. It's about your conduct. He didn't say anything about your dress. He didn't say anything about really necessarily in this passage about your hair. He says, for your conduct, be holy in your conduct. In all of your conduct, be holy, for I'm holy. And if you're going to be my representative, people need to know that when they look at you, they look at me. So when people look at you on your workplace tomorrow, are they looking at Christ or are they just looking at you? Are they looking at holiness or what you think holiness is? What are they looking at? How's this working out for you? How's it working out for the church? Well, I can tell you, with the empty pews we have this morning, it's not working that well. People say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm this, I'm a Christian, I'm a thief, but I'm a Christian. What? There's no Christian that's a thief. There you go. But you know, preacher, I've just got sticky fingers, had them all of my life. My mama had them, my daddy had them, my grandpa had them, and I'm just working my way. You know, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Come on now. Bible also says cut your hands off if others doing something you don't need to be doing. I ain't seen any one-armed people walking around lately. I ain't seen any one-eyed men walking around because they got lust in their heart either. So I can tell you assuredly that we're changing the definition of holiness based on circumstance and situation. And the Bible says you be holy because I'm holy. You just be holy because I'm holy. In other words, he's saying it like this. You get right with me and I'll make you holy. You'll want to be holy when you get right with me. Be holy for I'm holy. So then why do we get around this commandment? Why do we try to skate around this? Well, that doesn't really apply to me. He says, be holy for I am holy. But we want to throw in grace on it. Yeah, we got to have a certain amount of grace. Premeditated sin is not holy. Premeditated sin is not covered by grace. Premeditated sin, pre-plotted, pre-planned out sin, it doesn't fall under the grace. Preacher, well, I don't know if I agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. Jesus loved you while you was a sinner. But when you come to Christ, watch this. You won't premeditate for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks how you're going to commit adultery or how you're going to go do this or do that or how you're going to steal something. If you do, guess what? Something's wrong with your salvation. Somewhere in here, something got messed up. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Don't lessen holiness with this grace thing. Again, please, I'm not preaching against grace. Lord, I got to have it. I got to have more than most of you. Come on, I need a bucket. I need a 55-gallon drum of it poured on me every day. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just telling you that don't rely on that and that alone. Well, preacher, you're doing a really good job. Thank you. The Bible says this. You say, well, I don't know if I like the holiness thing. I don't know if I really want to get in on all that, you know. I mean, oh, that's a lot of things. Well, do you want to see God? Do you know without holiness you can't see God? Let me show you scripture. In Hebrews 12:14, the Bible says, pursue these two things, peace with all people and holiness. What are you supposed to pursue? Peace with all people and holiness. There's two things. Pursue peace and holiness, peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I ain't real sharp, but I got that figured out. We need holiness in our life so we can see God. If you're not striving for at least a level of holiness in your life, something's wrong. Something's wrong with our desire to serve and love God. There's a certain amount of holiness that should come along with your salvation. Quiet in the church today. Holiness. So why do we downplay holiness? Why do we downplay this holiness that God wants us to be? He commanded, be holy for I am holy. Why do we play this down? Here's why. Because grace is easier. All we have to do is just keep sinning for grace to be applied. So you got to do. If it's all about grace, and it is all about grace, but then it's not all about grace. Another reason we don't like the term holiness is that we have accepted the world's idea of holiness and not God's. You say, well, preacher, now, what do you mean? You ever heard of these people that are gay and that are pastors? I'm a gay Christian. You're not a gay Christian. Now, let me clarify. If you've had a gay lifestyle, you come and give your heart to the Lord, and you truly believe, and you're still struggling with something, I believe 100% you're a Christian and on your way to heaven. But if you continue in that lifestyle, there's a problem. There's a problem. But also believe this too, that if you truly repent in your heart, I believe that I serve a God. David, I believe I serve a God that can instantly take things from your life that is harming your life, your body. I believe that. I've seen it right now. Holiness is something we don't like to talk about in the church. How do you know, preacher? Oh, if you could see your faces the way I see your faces. If you could see the uptightness on everybody. Nobody's moving. Some people are squirming. Look like breakdancing from the 80s. The world says that holiness is old-fashioned. It's weird. And you have to be weird if you practice holiness. And that's boring. You can't have any fun if you're just always holy. I mean, just holy all of the time. We got to pray over everything. You got to pray when you get up. You got to pray at noon. You got to pray in the evening. You got to pray over your food. I mean, how many times can you pray over your food? I mean, come on. Sometimes, David, I want to come in and say, "Nah, honey, when you buy groceries, I'm praying for these groceries until they run out. We're good. Let's just eat." Y'all don't live your life like I live my life, man. It's like, let's eat, man. Let's do it. We got to go to church how many times in a week? See, if you approach holiness with that mentality, something's not right with a base foundation of salvation in your life. Something's already off right there. When I was a youth pastor, I used to tell kids all the time, it's not a bunch of I don't get to's, it's a bunch of I don't want to's. When Christ comes into your life, you change from I don't get to go to the party and get drunk and get on drugs that may kill me. No, I don't want to. I don't want to go do those things. I want to go to church. I want to lift my hands and worship the Lord. I want to sing praises to the Lord. I don't want to give $150 to go see some secular band talks about how he wants my life to be filled with demons. How he wants to take my daughter and do crazy sexual things to her. That's what a lot of this secular music is nowadays. I don't want to do that. I want to be far from that. And if you say that, well, holiness is opposite, well, then count me holy. Count me as I'm on the bandwagon for holiness. Amen. Jesus gives an abundant life, not a boring life. If you think being a Christian is not full of drama, you need to get your credentials and be a pastor. All the time, it's something fun. Someone came to me recently, a few weeks ago. One of our wonderful people in this church was doing what they were doing. They were checking on people, inviting them to come back to church, and said, "Well, I ain't coming back." This person told one of the people in our church in your congregation, "I ain't coming back." Well, why? What happened? I went three times, and the preacher never talked to me. Three times. One, two, three. All right, three times. Did you talk to him? Nope. It's fun. It's always something different. It's exciting. If you don't believe it, get involved in church. It may not be fun to you because you're not involved in it. You get involved, and there's something to do all the time. You want to have purpose, and you want to have meaning. Look, we cook every Wednesday night. Start about 3 o'clock on Wednesdays cooking. Glory to God. You get, look, anytime you get some hens together, there's some cackling going on. You hear me? Come on, some men. Can I get a witness? Amen. But guess what? The baseline of salvation says, I don't like that. I don't like that. And I don't like that. But that's not eternal. We're not leaving the church over because I didn't like the way you made the tea. Well, you put it in the wrong spot. Sweet tea's supposed to be on this side and not on this side. Y'all been in those churches. I've been there. Well, they just jacked up. I'm making the point here. Something's wrong with their holiness. His holiness is not about the tea. It's not about the cooking. It's not about where you sit or where you don't sit. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has something to do with my relationship with Christ and how much I want to serve him and how much I want to become like him. That's what true holiness is. Amen. If we can ever get the idea that I'm trying to conform to you, not to the world. Because the world's got a standard. And since the church has been so pathetically weak, that's why they're taking more territory and more territory and more territory. You hear me out. Soon I won't be able to preach what I'm preaching. If the Lord doesn't come back, soon I won't be able to preach without being a hate crime when I said something about a gay Christian. I watched the thing last night on Jack Hibbs. He's the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California. Awesome Christian guy. Loves Israel. He's just a super guy. And I watched Tina and I. We watched him last night. And he was asked to give by Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, to give a prayer. He said, I didn't know when you prayed at the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, that you had so many guidelines. Said you couldn't be over 150 words. You couldn't use Father. You couldn't use Jesus or Jesus Christ or Son of God. You couldn't use all, you know, the terminology because that's offensive to atheists. And you say, well, preacher, that's up in Washington. Uh-huh, and they send down rules and guidelines and laws that you and I got to live by. And so he said, I'd submitted my prayer. And he sent that in, and he said, I got on the plane. And to go there. And he said, I was in the airport and I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me of that prayer. And he said, I rewrote my prayer. And he said, obviously, I offended the atheist with the first sentence. Amen. He said, because I started with Father. And I used Jesus Christ. And he talked about the wisdom that comes from Almighty God. Be upon us as we lead your people, as that wisdom was upon our forefathers. And it was an awesome prayer. Praise God that we got people that says, look, and they start talking about it. He said, yeah, but you wasn't supposed to say that. He said, I didn't ask to come. You invited me. I said, you go on, fella. See, he wasn't conforming the world, taking the world's ideology of what God's supposed to be in holiness and applying it to the church. He says, no, wait a minute, the church is the standard. If we follow Christ and his word, that's the standard, and I'm going to give it to you. I don't ever have to come back. We need more people like that, amen? Amen. So let's be careful not to replace holiness with grace. The Bible teaches broad is the way to destruction, and many will find it, but narrow is the way to Christ. And few be that find it. Let me read it for you. I don't want to key in on a few couple words here. Enter by the narrow gate. Number one, it's narrow. It's not a big wide gate. Number two, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. There's a lot of people going to hell. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate. Now watch this. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. Pastor, are we going to have problems because we can become a Christian? No, not in the sense of you're going to have financial difficulties, you're going to have health problems. You may have those things, but that's not what it's talking about. The difficult way is you're going to have to make a stand for holiness. You're going to have to say, here is the benchmark that I will not cross. These are things that are non-negotiables in my life. I have a few non-negotiables in my life. If you put a gun to my head and I don't have anything to protect myself with, and you say, hey, I want your house, you got a house. With a payment, by the way. I got many things like that, but there's some non-negotiables. You put a gun to my head and say, now I'm gonna take your grandbabies. We got a problem. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to give in because those are non-negotiables. The church has given up our non-negotiables, one being holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We've given up that to so that we can be liked by the world, so that we can be seeker-friendly churches, because we want you to be okay when you leave here. We want you to feel good about your situation. We want you to feel good about your depression. We want you to feel good that you're in a gay relationship. We want you to feel good that you're a thief and that you're a murderer and that you're a robber, that you're a liar. We want you to feel good, and we're going to come up with a message that makes you feel good about being a liar. Difficult is the way. I rarely like the message I preach to you. What? I rarely like them. You know why? Number one, because they're usually for me first. I'm thinking, God, can I ask you, Lord, about what your people? Come on, somebody. Lord, what do you want? Your people, not me, them. He says, yeah, well, you're one of them too. So number one, that reason. And number two, this is difficult. This stirs the pot. This gets under your skin. It's like sticking a splinter sometimes under your fingernail. It just doesn't feel that good. Nobody's signing up for it again next week. But we replace holiness with grace. Preacher, just make us feel so good. Would you caress us on our back and rub us and just tell us how good we are and how beautiful we are and that everything's going to be all right? Well, I hope it is all right, and I pray for you that it is all right, but that doesn't mean it's going to be all right. You may have cancer. You may have another sickness or disease, and I pray that God heals you, and I believe he can, and I believe he will. But if he don't, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to keep praying for God to heal. We're going to keep believing for it until you take your last breath. We're going to believe for it. We're not going to give up holiness and say, well, that doesn't work. That must have been for somebody else. No, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it happen in my own life. I know he can do it. But difficult is the way. You know, it's hard to hang on to your faith when God's word says, if two or three are gathered together in your name asking anything and agreeing on that one thing, and you anoint them with oil, and you do all the stuff scripturally, and you got all the stuff down, and it doesn't happen. It's difficult to stay with God sometimes, church. Come on, I'm preaching real stuff to you. It's hard sometimes to stay planted and say, I don't care what comes down the pipe, I'm not moving. I'm not giving up the non-negotiables. I'm going to stay planted on God's word. Then your husband or your wife comes in, or your kids or your best friend says, you still trying that old Jesus thing? He ain't working for you. You're about to die. Woohoo! Thanks for being my friend. So this passage in Matthew chapter 7, entering by the narrow gate, and it's difficult, and few go in that way. So then why do we think everyone who says a little prayer and asks Jesus to be their Lord will make it into heaven? Come down and say a few words. Just say a few words. And you're going to make it right on into heaven. You're going to march right in there with Gabriel when you die. You might not. That might not be the only ticket. That might not be the thing. There's this thing about believing in your heart and trusting God, repenting, turning from your ways. Confession with the mouth, Romans says in chapter 10. Confession with the mouth must be made, number one. But a repenting, a turning, the repent in two situations is to turn 180 degrees. If I'm going this way, I go this way. Some people say, when I turn around, they mean turn to 360 and keep going and doing the same thing you've been doing. Well, that really ain't repenting. You just made a circle. But to turn from a direction you're going and go a different direction. If you're not following Christ, you're going one way. If you're following Christ, you're going another direction. Don't replace holiness with grace. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to hurry because I know you're enjoying this so very much. I can. Thank you. Amen. I'll keep preaching then. How is it, or why is it, that we believe our definition of grace somehow triumphs over what God says is lukewarmness? We don't call people that are in and out of church, they just dealing with stuff in their life. No, they're lukewarm. They're just lukewarm. Well, you know, they come some and they don't come. They're lukewarm. But preacher, they got this stuff going. They're lukewarm. They're just lukewarm. But they got issues. Yeah, because they're lukewarm. Revelation 3:14, it says, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things says the Amen. In other words, God saying these. The faithful and the true witness, it's still him. The beginning of the creation, he's talking about God if he hadn't got the picture yet. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. I wish you was one of the two. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, why am I saying that backwards? Neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but a couple weeks ago I was sick. And I had a little problem with vomiting. As a matter of fact, at one time I was looking for my toes to come up. I had done gotten rid of everything that was inside of me. Amen. I had left it on the porcelain altar. You understand what I'm saying? It was there. There was nothing left to give. It was gone, away from me. Praise God, it was out of me. I was thinking, this next one, surely. Why are you telling me about that, preacher? The Bible says that he wished as you were hot or cold. Since you're neither one, I'll get rid of you. I'll vomit you out. You're not really either anything to me. You're nothing in the sense of you're not productive. You're just there. You're not heating anything up. You're not freezing anything. You're just right in the middle. You're just normal. You're just going through life. I'm just whistling right through life. Amen. Everything's good. Because I've got grace. I don't have to be one way or the other. The Bible says that you better be one way or the other. I'm telling you, you need to be white hot for God. Amen. Hebrews 12:10 says this. Let me say, Romans 6:22 says this. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. You're set free from one thing, from this bondage of sin, and now I'm a slave to God. Oh, I like that. Being a slave to God. And I got some fruit when that happens because I'm not hot or cold. There's some fruit that says I'm holiness. I'm portraying Christ. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Hebrews 12:10 says, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. In other words, when times get tough, seek God more. When times get tough, still go after God. When times get tough, keep your feet planted. When the floodwaters come, still be planted. Hang on, hang on, hang on. Because in that process, there'll be some holiness that comes out of it if you'll keep firmly planted on God's word. Verse 11, now No chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Duh. He just said, I ain't finding much happiness in all this trouble I got. It says, but it's painful. How many of you have ever been in through a painful situation and you love God? You was a Christian and you went through a painful situation that hurt you bad. I think everybody in this room can raise your hand. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In other words, this righteous gospel, the holiness of God, will train you so that when times of trouble come, when the adversity comes, when the flood comes, when the storms come, you will stand firm and you will be trained by holiness to accept what God has to you. And when you get on the other side, say, praise God, I made it through. You know, if you die, if you're a Christian, you know it's better than living, right? Just want you to know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. What does that mean? I thought God done all the cleansing. Oh, he did. He saves you. But you got to do some work. You got to get rid of some stuff. You got to start cleaning out the closet. You got to start cutting some things off. You got to cut people out of your lives. There are certain things you can't go anywhere. You can't go do certain things anymore. I was sharing with David yesterday on the telephone. We had visited, and I was talking about a friend of ours. You'll know him. I'll call him by name. He won't mind. He's told his story. Billy Sellers. He got saved. Y'all know his background. He liked adult beverages a lot and a lot of other things. And he got saved, and his dad, and every Sunday before he'd always go to the liquor store and pick up the newspaper, take it to his dad. Well, he got saved, he started coming to church. But after church, his dad said, hey, go down there and get me a newspaper. And his dad is church going, man. But he wasn't going to no liquor store not to get a paper. I'll just send my son down there. So Big Bill said, hey, Bill, I need you to go get a paper. I ain't going down there no more. I can't do it. What do you mean? Well, I ain't going down there no more. I'm done with that. Well, just going there to get a newspaper. He said, I'm not going down there. I'm not putting myself in that place anymore to be tempted with that. Because I'm now saved, I'm cleansing myself of those things. See, he cleansed himself of the idea that I'm going to get a paper. He didn't cleanse himself to be saved. He cleansed himself so I'm not going to participate with that activity any longer. And guess what? That's the process of you becoming holy. As he's holy. Well, amen. I need to hurry. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 says, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, speaking of God Christ, and we are the church, people of the church, that he may present us, the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, the church, should be holy and without blemish. The church, you and I, not the building. This building will have blemishes. We can remodel this building today front to back and you can find blemishes based upon someone's eye that's looking on it. You'll find blemishes. He's not talking about the building. He's talking about you and me. We're to be a spotless garment, a spotless bride, pure and white. That's why you wear white garments when you get married, because you're supposed to be pure. See, there's been some replacement stuff there. Hallelujah. We keep doing these things that stain us and wrinkle us without trying to clean it up, clean them up. But then when we get in front of God, we say, Lord, I just need your mercy and your grace. There's no question about us needing God's mercy and grace. The question is, are you helping cleanse yourself of places, things, people, things you watch, things you hear? could preach right there for a while. Oh, honey, you might want to crank my truck. I love you. When two homosexuals say they are married, it is not a family. It is sin. It is not holiness in any shape, form, or fashion. It is, however, a wrinkle on the garment. When we wink at the transgender movement and allow it to infiltrate our schools and our homes, it is a spot on our garment. When we allow our children and teenagers to make up their own rules and be disobedient, backtalk, become unruly, and cause undue stress, it is a sin. It is a stain on our garments. When people cohabitate and they have illegitimate children and call it a family, it is not a family, it's sin. It's what God disagrees with. He created the institution of family. We married one man and one woman. It's a stain on our garment. Quiet in the Pentecostal church this morning. If prideful spirit is a stain in the church, anger is a stain in the church, unforgiveness is a stain in the church, jealousy is a stain in the church, envy is a stain in the church. Let's be careful not to replace holiness with grace. Because you and I just might be terribly disappointed when we stand before Christ. Honey, come to the piano. So where do we go from here, preacher? So you've told us all of these things that I really didn't want to hear, and by your confession, you didn't really want to tell us. Yeah, true enough. So what do we do now? Where do we go from here? What's next? I'm doing the best I can. Here's the question you need to ask. Are you really? Are you really? Now, you can tell me anything. You can tell me anything you want to. I'll try my best to believe it. But see, holiness does not lie within me to give to you. Holiness is from God becoming more like Him. You can become more like me and you'll still be a heathen. You'll still have jealousy in your heart. You'll still have envy. You'll still have hate. You'll still have this. You'll have all those things that we have. So be honest with yourself this morning. Are you replacing holiness with grace in a certain area of your life? Well, God, He's going to work on that when it's time for Him. Well, when is it time for God to work on a sin in your life? When do you think He's going to get around to it? When do you think He's going to address the stain of envy or jealousy or wrath or anger or filthiness or filthy communication? When do you think He's going to address it? When do you think would be a good time for God to approach you with that? Probably at the moment of, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm just guessing. Well, how do you know that, preacher? That's when He started working on my list. We still working on it. Yep. It's a long list. Well, I'm really not bothered, preacher. Why are you bothered? I'm not bothered about it. I'm just telling you what that says about it. And if sin's not bothering you in your life, you need to be bothered about it. There's something wrong. When sin no longer moves us to repentance, when sin no longer jolts us in a different way, something is wrong with the fundamental basics of me coming to Christ. Something isn't right. When sinful people, watch, can come and sit in this church house week after week and month after month, and we know, and they'll tell you, I'm not a Christian, but they can come and sit in the presence of us in God in this house for weeks and never be moved to come to an altar. Something's wrong with our view of holiness. I'm just quite certain that when sinners get in the presence of Almighty God, David, there's going to be some repentance. I'm reminded of one story as I close. It's coming up on Easter. There's these three guys on a cross. One was a thief. He didn't know anything about Christ. Didn't really know, if you do a study, didn't really know that he was who he said he was. He was just taking a gamble. But he says, remember me, or Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. The guy in the middle, meaning Jesus, says, today you'll be with me in paradise. See, the sinner in the presence of God didn't need to be talked into him telling him how holy he needed to be. There was just something about the holiness of God that radiated from him to a sinner, and he knew that he needed something more than what he had. He knew there was something different. Wasn't quite sure what it was, if he was even going to come through this man, but he wasn't taking any chances. What do you have to lose? You're on a cross. You're going to die in a few hours. What do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing, sir or ma'am. Not one thing do you have to lose. But if you choose no, you have everything to lose. An eternity in hell. Oh, if we could just somehow wrap our minds around the definition of eternity. An old song we used to sing. You'll know the song when I tell you some of the lyrics. When we've been there 10,000 years. It's just beginning at 10,000 years. I don't even understand 1,000 years. Our little old country hadn't been around but around 250. And we don't understand, we don't grasp. But eternity, forever, separated from God. Separated from his presence, no longer to feel his presence. No longer will you be able to sit in a church service and hear the gospel preached. Well, you might. That might be one of the torments of hell, that you hear every gospel message ever preached that called for your repentance. Wouldn't that be torment? How is your holiness today? How is your holiness? Will you stand with me across this building? What's your benchmark? I want you to search your hearts. I want you to close your eyes all across this building. Bow your heads. What is your benchmark for holiness? Is it some idea that you've dreamed up in your head of what holiness is? Or is it what God's Word says holiness is? Is it abstaining from the very appearance of evil? Or is it slipping around and doing this or doing that or doing something else? Is that what it is? Are you sure that's holiness? I want to give you a warning. When you step toward holiness, you'll keep stepping toward holiness. And you'll keep marching toward holiness. Because he's a perfect, holy, righteous God without spot, without wrinkle, without any stain. He is perfect in every way. And since we're not, when we start stepping toward Christ, we'll find something else that needs to be removed in our life. So where are you with holiness today? Pastor, I need prayer. Pastor, my holiness is not, I got things, I got stuff, I got issues. I need prayer, Pastor. Will you stick your hand up? I want to pray with you. Will you put your hand right up? Yes, I see that hand, I see that hand. I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. I see hands all over the place, all over this building. Thank you, God. See that hand over there. See that hand. As an act of faith, will you make your way to this altar? Could you stay where you are? If you're not coming, just stay. And I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you all about your stuff. I just want to put my hands on and pray with you. There's no magical power in me. But it's a step of faith, saying, I've got some stuff in my life, and I know I need to deal with them. Will you come? Will you come? Thank you, sir, for coming. Thank you, sir, for coming. I need some people that will come help me pray up here. Will you come as we keep these altars open a little bit longer? Will you come? Will you come? Thank you, Father. You raised your hand. I want you to come. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you and we worship you, Lord. Will you just pray? If you're in your seats, you're still there. Will you just bow your heads? Will you begin to pray? If you were one that raised your hand and you didn't want to come this morning, just begin to ask the Lord to show you His holiness, what His holiness is. Find His holiness in the Word of God. You just begin to pray that right real quick. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, you know our hearts today, God. I love you. If you leave mad, you're just mad. I love you, though. Woody, I even love you, man. I love you. Let me bless you before we go. If you're not doing anything on Wednesday, we'd love to have you on Wednesday. We'll feed you and I'll be teaching this Wednesday. Won't really be any better than it was today. But I won't be any worse, though. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, I thank you that how you can take something from a few months ago and apply it today. Thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for these fine people that have raised their hands today and acknowledgement of, Lord, our holiness is substandard and, Lord, that we're working in that direction. And Lord, for me, I know both hands have been raised today. God, help us and lead us and guide us. Lord, let us pursue holiness the way you seek holiness. Seek righteousness that you call righteousness. As we leave this place, Lord, I pray that your face would shine upon us. That we would find favor with God and with man. That increase would come our way. That prosperity, job promotions, raises, be upon your people, and that peace would rest over every rooftop, that when we lay down today or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our physical bodies and our spiritual souls. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, and everyone says amen and amen. God bless you.